This is On Target St. John's. A look at politics, crime, education. What's happening here with the people who know. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station. Now, your On Target St. John's host, Linda Swain.
And good afternoon, everyone. Well, being a firefighter, whether you're on the payroll or volunteering your services, is a tough but rewarding gig. Firefighters are usually the first of the first responders to arrive at a scene. They tackle the issue at hand while also offering that needed reassurance at what can be a very traumatic and chaotic time. Well, how has firefighting and emergency response changed? How have the incidents that firefighters respond to changed? How has fire safety and prevention changed? Here to have a chat with us about some of those many, many issues is the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Association of Fire Services, and he's also the chief with the Labrador West Fire Department, Joe Power. Hello.
Good afternoon, Linda. How are you doing?
Great. Welcome to the show. So I guess off the top, do you have any idea, even roughly speaking, how many firefighters are currently serving in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Right now, it's roughly around 6,300. That's volunteer and full-time. There is some full-time stations around the province, St. John's, Grand Falls, Gander, CBS, ourselves here in Labrador City, and probably a couple more that have some full-timers, and some of us are composite departments as well. We have some full-time staff and the rest being volunteers.
I know it's called firefighting, but firefighters respond to so much more than just fires. What kind of scope do firefighters have? What kind of emergency situations are they frequently called out to?
You could be looking at anything, Linda. Like you said, there's more than fire calls. Vehicle extrication, hazmat. There's lots of things we could be called out for. Could be called out to assist ground search and rescue, high angle rescue. There's lots of things we could be called out for, just not fires.
And that's a pretty broad scope, because even the fires themselves, you require, you know, a high level of training for various types of fires. So what kind of training is needed for a firefighter these days?
Right now, you here in the province, you will be looking at obtaining at least a level one firefighting certificate. A lot of our volunteers, a lot of our full-timers have level one, have level two firefighting paperwork, but it just don't happen overnight. Just for our own department here, it probably takes up to a full year to obtain your level one certificate. So that's once, twice, probably three times a week, coming to training, doing all the book work, getting the practical sessions in. So it's it just don't happen overnight.
And it can be pretty technical stuff, I would imagine.
Yep, it can be. You're just for level one alone, like you're looking at for the study side of it, I'll call it. You're looking at 24 chapters that got to be covered under the level one program. And then there's 50 JPRs, we'll call them, that you have to do as well. And then you got to throw hazmat in on top of that. Anybody doing level one have to have hazmat awareness and hazmat operations, and that's another course that could take up to 2 weeks.
And I imagine once you get that, you need that training to be updated every so often, because we all forget things.
Yeah, we do. I know most departments in the province are training weekly. Some of that got changed due to COVID now, but for the most part, I know most of our departments are training on a weekly basis to keep everything up to date.
So that's one thing if you're on a payroll and you're hired as for your fire services training. It's another thing for volunteers, and that's a big time commitment, obviously. Has that caused any problems in regards to recruiting volunteers?
It's certainly changed over the past 5 to 10 years. We're not getting the same number of applications we used to get years ago, but I keep telling everybody that our lifestyles have changed over the years. Our kids are at in the more sports, doing more projects in the evening. This day and age now, there's two people in your household that's working. Years ago, there was probably only one person working, so that gives people extra time to get out. But lives are busy now. Everybody's busy. Lives have changed over the years, and it's a big commitment to join a fire department. Just knowing what you got to do just to attain that level one that we just spoke about is a big time commitment.
And then there's those calls. You don't know when you're going to be called, or what it's going, what part of your aspect of your busy life is going to interrupt.
No, that's for sure, Linda. Like you could be sat down eating supper this evening at 5 or 6 o'clock. You could be in bed tomorrow morning, 2 or 3 o'clock, and you don't know what time you're getting that call, and you don't know how long you're gone for.
And yet people still signing up.
Yep, there's still people signing up, but again, it's not like it was years ago. Like, I'll just, we done some research back probably 5 years ago looking at the volunteer side of things, and we used a lot of numbers out of the United States. Back in 1980s, late 1980s, there was over 700,000 volunteer firefighters in the United States. And in the early 2000s, that was pretty much cut in half to around 400,000. So there was a lot of people give it up due to time, the commitment, and everything that's involved in joining the fire department.
I would think, too, that part of what's affecting fire departments in Newfoundland and Labrador as well is some of the out-migration we've seen in the last couple of decades since the COD moratorium, and people who are doing the long commute, rotational workers who simply can't commit to a fire department because they're gone most of the time.
Yep, we've seen a lot of that, especially in the last 5 to 10 years, that the fire departments have lost members due to people having to go out west to go to work. They can't make that commitment, and they can't make the training, and you just can't have people on your fire department just to have numbers there. And if they can't keep up on their training, it's really not safe for them to continue firefighting, and it's not safe for the members that are there. Everybody has got to keep up on their training on a yearly basis.
And they've all got to keep each other's backs, I would imagine. It's not good enough to sign up and then say, no, I can't come out for that.
No, it's not like it was years ago either now. Like, I know first when I signed up here, things have certainly changed now. Like, the safety aspect of firefighting has changed a lot over the years. I'll just use, for an example, exposure reports. When we're out on a working fire now, when we return to the station here, everybody is expected to do an exposure report. Years ago, this stuff didn't happen. And things have changed that much over the years. Now, regarding safety, you need to be at all this. You need to keep good records.
Well, indeed, because firefighters have a, so they say, a higher incidence, I suppose, of occupational health and safety kind of injuries over time, especially. Is that something that you've noticed?
Yeah, and not to get too personal myself now, Linda, but I just went through it myself now. I was diagnosed with colon cancer about 3 months ago, and I had surgery a month ago. I'm doing really well. Good prognosis and that, but that's part of the industrial disease that firefighters can get over years of service. And we are covered for the most part under presumptive cancer legislation through the government. and we have 11 different kinds of cancer that you can be covered under as well, right?
But that was an awful long time coming. I suppose you're glad to finally see that in place.
Yeah, it's in place. From my own personal experience now, the last couple of months, working with Workers' Comp and debt, it's not an easy task. There's a lot of paperwork behind proving the fact that you attended a lot of fire calls, proving the fact that you were part of a fire department and that. So, again, it comes back to municipalities and fire department having good record keeping.
Have you encountered issues either yourself or with others in the past with that kind of paper trail, if you will?
I haven't personally now. It's been going pretty smooth for me, but I know there's a few volunteer firefighters in the province that have struggled to receive benefits because their municipalities and their fire department didn't have the proper paperwork in place, right? And it's making it more difficult for them to receive benefits.
My guest today on Target is president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Association of Fire Services. He also happens to be the fire chief in Labrador West. Joe Power will be back right after this.
This is On Target on VOCM. Now back to Linda Swain, On Target St. John's on VOCM.
My guest today is Chief Joe Power with the Labrador West Fire Department. He also is president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Association of Fire Services. And we've been talking about some of the ways in which firefighting and those kinds of activities and training even have changed over the years. How long have you been a firefighter, Joe?
I've been at it now almost 20 years, Linda.
Has firefighting changed a lot over the years for you? Have you noticed any big changes? I know you touched on a few of them.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes. Just the training alone, the changes that have happened over the last 20 years, the safety aspect of it. And not only that, Linda, like the way fires burn today is it's very dangerous. The stuff that's in the houses, the stuff that the houses are built of, the furniture and that. Years ago, when you entered a house, some of the older houses, so I'll just use some of the older ones here in Lab Wish, you probably had 20 or 25 minutes that you could feel safe. And now with the products that are in the house, you might have 10, 12 minutes that you actually feel safe in there.
Does that have to do with the types of items in the homes, plastics in particular, I wonder?
Yeah, plastic materials that houses are made of. But, we look at it as fire rating, like how long it can last, like a sheet of gyprock. Most houses are done with gyprock. The half-inch sheet of gyprock gives you what we refer to as a half-hour rating. You can get one-hour fire-rated gyprock. But a lot of materials that the houses are made of now, it burns faster, spreads a lot faster.
And I would imagine that you being in Labrador West in particular, you have some unique challenges compared to other regions. So what kind of roles do firefighters play in an industrialized area like Labrador West compared to another type of community?
Right here in Labrador West, Ireland, we have the R&R Company of Canada here. And again, that has changed a lot over the years, too, the way fires were fought out there. And especially now, IOCC, they have their own ERT team. They're trained very professional. They have the equipment that they need on site. And over the past 5-6 years, we're mutual aid for them, man. We're not responding there all the time. We do assist them when they need us. But again, they have changed a lot over the years, put a lot of things in place, such as the ERT team, bought the necessary equipment and do the training that they need to have a good team out there.
But again, if you're there to assist, you have to know that stuff too, I guess.
Yeah, it's industrial firefighting is not exactly the same as fighting fires in residential homes and responding to car accidents and stuff like that. It's a different beast, and you have to be trained in industrial firefighting as well.
And that would include fish plants, I would imagine, because there's an awful lot of things in a fish plant, chemicals and such that are on site that can be extremely hazardous.
Yeah, it's not much difference. We've seen a few fish plants over the last 4 or 5 years. We've done all in Kitchen Fire, and you had 7 or 8 fire departments respond to help each other out there. And there's materials in a fish plant that can be extremely toxic, volatile, and probably explosive as well.
Newfoundland and Labrador is a rugged place, and we still have a great wealth of forested areas. Do you need to know a lot in that area as well when it comes to forest fighting? I know we have well-trained crews to do that, but I would imagine people on the ground, and I know that the Labrador West Fire Department was involved when they had those big fires not too long ago out your way, but is that something that you're also trained in?
Yeah, we do some training in wildland fires. Urban wildland fires is part of our training as well, because I can only speak for us here in Outland. We're usually the first call, whether it's a house fire, a forest fire, or a brush fire. We're usually that first call, and we do go and, as most fire departments would, around the island go and try to knock it down if we can, get control of it, and. But if we don't, like we had here in 2013, we will assist the Department of Natural Resources and Forestry and do our part.
How much of a firefighter's role is in first response to accident scenes, highway collisions, those kinds of things?
Our numbers are down here over the past few years in Labrador West, and I believe that's due to the fact that we have a lot of pavement here now instead of dirt roads. But I know out on the island, Gander, Grand Falls, Whitburn, I know those fire departments, I'm going to say they're probably Clarenville again. They're out on the road probably, well, they're out there too many times, but they're probably out there 3, perhaps 4 times a week responding to MBAs.
They're kept busy for sure, and we do hear from them rather frequently when it comes to that sort of thing. Is that a part of the job that most firefighters are ready for, I guess, when they first get their training and go out for those first few calls?
Yeah, we are, Linda. Big electrification is a big part of our training, big part of the Level 1, Level 2 program. Again, it's... the same as responding to a fire. You have to, when you're responding to a car accident, there's different things you got to look at, whether or not you are going to have a fire, if there's leaking gas. Then you got to be aware of how you're going to handle victims in the cars. You just can't crack open a window and haul them out. You got to be sure of how you're handling them. And again, we have most fire departments have paramedics, and paramedics are on scene with us to look after those events as well.
It strikes me at these scenes, because journalists are often called out to these scenes, but you often will catch the things, the sights and the sounds and the smells of these types of events. And what really strikes a lot of us when we appear at these scenes is how reassuring all of these first responders are, including the firefighters. They're usually that face that's looking at you straight in the face saying, you know what, it's going to be okay. We got you. We got you. You know, this kind of thing. That's an important part, and that human interaction is such an important part to keep people calm, to keep people reassured, and just to help them through what's probably the worst moment of their life.
Yeah, that's true, Linda. Even responding to motor vehicle accidents, responding to house fires, especially if there's kids around, kids involved. making sure they're safe, making sure that their family members are safe, and just knowing how to respond and how to talk to these people is it's part of the profession, and it's part of being professional too as well, because like you said, it's probably the worst day of their life. There's times that some of these events don't end up so good. Some of them turn into tragic events, and firefighters are affected by those events as well, and that's another thing that has changed over the past few years. How fire departments, municipalities are dealing with PTSD.
Is there enough support to offer to firefighters, understanding that now, better now than we ever did before, I suppose?
I believe there is, Linda. We, even as an association, we ensure that all fire departments throughout the province, if they have an event, that we have somebody there in the community. We have teams set up across the province. And if there's an area that we don't have a team, we will ensure that we can get somebody in there to ensure that the fire departments, police officers, have the right people to talk to, professionals to talk to.
And are they being recognized now as injuries as well, you know, for compensation and for time off and all that stuff?
Yeah, that's probably happened in the last 5 or 6 years too, Linda. Like I said, death has changed a whole lot. Even since I started 20 years ago, we've probably seen stuff 20 years ago, and it wasn't good stuff. You came back to the fire department, you didn't say a whole lot, you didn't talk to anybody, you went home, you probably couldn't sleep, you didn't talk to your spouse about it. But that has changed a lot over the last 5 or 6 years. Again, right now, when we have a tragic event, we'll come back here, and once everything is done, we will sit down with those professionals that we have here in the community. We will have a debriefing and do whatever it takes to ensure that all our firefighters are looked after.
Is there still a tendency to say, no, boy, I'm okay, yeah, no, I'm good. Or are people more willing now to say, I'm not handling this very well?
You'll still get the odd one. That's just my personal belief. But for the most part, most people are willing now to sit down and express their feelings, their opinions on what happened with some of these events, and get it out in the open. And most people are realizing this day and age now that it's the right way to do things.
Are firefighters aware of the signs of a stress injury like that? Can they see it? Are they trained to know or see it in their colleagues or see it in themselves?
We do. We do a lot of training regarding PTSD and mental health. We've had programs set up over the past number of years in different communities. There's more training to come regarding mental health, PTSD. It's just that when COVID started, we were the association had some grants to start more mental health training, but it got postponed due to COVID and that. And we're trying to keep up on everything in those aspects of that part of our training and that. And hopefully, once COVID gets cleared off a bit, we can get back to getting these programs back in place.
My guest today on Target is the fire chief with the Labrador West Fire Department. He also is the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Association of Fire Services. We'll be back right after this.
This is On Target on VOCM. Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And we're back. My guest today is Joe Power, he's the president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Association of Fire Services and the fire chief in Labrador West. And you mentioned COVID, Joe. How has COVID affected firefighting and fire first response?
It's changed, especially on the first of it. When a lot of fire departments were unsure how to respond, not sure if they had the right equipment and that, but last year when this started in March, now some departments were feeling that they didn't know if they had the right equipment or if they could respond, but fire emergency services stepped in pretty fast there and came out with some regulations, came out with some equipment and that to ensure that fire departments could respond. It stopped a lot of training within fire departments throughout the province. Fire departments couldn't get together for their training. Right now, we're back at training. We're allowed 20 people in a training session at the one time. I think personally, we may lose some members throughout the province due to COVID. Some people may have found other things to do because they weren't meeting in the fire halls once a week. Some other people that may have found it hard when it came to virtual training. Not everybody likes computers. Not everybody are familiar with computers. So a lot of our training was done virtually. Some people couldn't get used to that. A lot of people were coming to the fire departments to do fundraising. All that stopped. So the social aspect of firefighters meeting in the fire halls, all that has changed over the last year, Linda.
How important is that?
It's very important. I can speak to our own department here, like the camaraderie, the social life of just getting together. You said it earlier, like most people in the fire department got each other's back. They depend on each other. So when it comes to the social aspect and that, that makes a big difference as well. You know that people train together, you know they're capable of having your back, but when it comes to social events and just being able to sit down, get to know everybody, get to know your new members, it makes a big difference. And for here now, over the last year, like I said, we started off training and then a couple of times we had to cancel to go back to level five and stuff like that. Now we're back training again, and we still can't host our social events. We still can't do our fundraising, and it even makes a difference to the general public. Yeah, they see the fire truck going down the road with lights and siren on, but when we had our car washes here, a lot of the general public were stopping in and making donations to their fire departments, and they've seen their fire departments out in the community. So it's making a big difference.
It's a bond almost that's broken, not being able to get together in those ways, because you need to develop those bonds, and you need to develop those bonds within the community too. I mean, every Newfoundlander and Labradorian knows how how big a role firefighters play even in the Christmas parades every year. You know what I mean? Everybody waits to see the fire truck and wave at everybody and hear the sirens and all that sort of thing. It's a bond with the community as well.
Yeah, it is, Linda. And you take, like, we've had a couple of people retire here in the last year, and usually when somebody retires from the fire department anywhere throughout the province, probably throughout our country, we like to have a little send-off party, I'll call it, for those people that dedicated their time and that for 25, 30 years, and you can't do those things anymore.
That's sad, because it's such a commitment, and you want to recognize that.
Yeah, you do, yeah. But like I said, COVID has changed a lot of things. And hopefully within the next year, I'm hoping we can get back to somewhat normal, I guess.
You and I both, and all our listeners. What about PPE levels? I know there were some concerns in the beginning when this all struck that there weren't adequate enough levels of PPE, but are you okay with that now?
I think we are, Linda. On the first of it, it was probably just some fire departments out there that, like I said before, they COVID was new. We weren't used to it. Some departments were trained, like, in how to handle different events, and some departments weren't. But we had trouble, like, attaining some masks. And that's the same as the healthcare system, and they did on the first of it. But after 3 or 4 months, that problem seemed to go away.
And what about rollout of the vaccines? Are most of your members now vaccinated?
I can't speak for the whole province now, but I know, I'm going to say probably 2 months ago now, we were vaccinated here in Labrador West, ourselves and Wild Bush Fire Department. And I know there was a lot of places set up across the island for fire departments to get the vaccines.
And that was an important aspect, I would imagine. I would think your membership are pretty relieved to finally get those.
Yeah, they are, Linda, and it was a little bit of a hard one, too, for us as an association, because we were like every organization. We wrote letters to government suggesting that we get put in line for to get the vaccines, but it's a hard fight to fight because you don't want to put yourself ahead of any other essential workers, school teachers. Everybody was important at the time. So, like I said, it's a hard fight to say that one organization is important than the other one.
I hear you. My guest today on Target is Joe Power. He's the chief with the Labrador West Fire Department. He's also president of the Newfoundland and Labrador Association of Fire Services. We'll be back right after this.
This is On Target on VOCM. Now back to Linda Swain on Target St. John's on VOCM.
And my guest today is president of the Association of Fire Services in Newfoundland and Labrador and the fire chief in Labrador West, Joe Power. And Joe, you were talking earlier about some of these things that we all have in our homes these days. What are some basic rules of thumb when it comes to fire prevention in the home?
Well, right now, I know Chief McKenzie was on the OCM the other day, just explaining some safety things regarding fire prevention, and he mentioned the fact of smoke detectors. Right now, it's a law in the province of Newfoundland and Labrador that smoke detectors be on every level of the home and in every bedroom. A lot of people don't realize that this was changed a few years ago. I'm going to say 2012. That it was mandatory that you have smoke detectors in all the bedrooms. Fire extinguishers in your kitchens, very important as well. Having escape plans in your home, very important. And I guess, Linda, what most people don't realize about fire prevention, and this is just me speaking from personal experience, I've done a lot of fire prevention over the years. Kids, you go to the schools or kids come into the fire departments, and they're the ones that bring fire prevention home. They bring it home to their parents, their older siblings, and they're enforcing fire prevention more than anybody, which is great.
Oh, 100%. I think a lot of adults have been told by a child at some point in their lives, don't put that there because of this. And they're pointing out things that you've always sort of taken for granted, I suppose.
Yeah. And it's amazing, like, to sit down and teach kids fire prevention, how attentively they are. It's been amazing over the years just to sit back and watch kids, how they take it in. And then you meet a parent down at the mall somewhere, and they'll tell you that their kid come home and when their battery's checked in their smoke detector, told her parents that they couldn't have no more candles lit and stuff like this.
And it's lessons you learn at those ages that you take with you your whole life. Once you learn it, you don't unlearn it, we'll say.
No, for sure. I've had kids come in here in grade kindergarten, and like I said, I've been at it now for 20 years, and you meet these people now up in the mall, they're young adults, and they'll look at you and say, you don't remember me, you don't remember when I was in the fire hall, and you're there, well, I must be getting old because this was 20 years ago, right?
Yeah, we all reach those kind of milestones in our lives with any luck. There's been a lot of discussion in recent days, especially stemming from the Green Report, about this whole concept of regionalization. And I know municipalities, Newfoundland and Labrador, has been an advocate of that for quite some time. Would regionalization make it easier or tougher for fire departments in Newfoundland and Labrador?
I think I'm pretty safe in saying that our association has supported regionalization over the years, but we got a new word for it now, Linda. We're calling it shared services.
And that sounds a little more, I guess, appealing to people, generally speaking?
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like the words amalgamation and regionalization, so shared services is saying a whole lot better, and I know I've listened to Open Line the last week or so about the Meyer Green report, and I guess I don't know if municipalities or fire departments are going to want to hear this, but and I could be wrong, but there's not going to be a whole lot of money to go around for firefighting equipment in the next few years, so maybe we should get used to sharing services and municipalities come together and help each other out. I know there's a lot of places in Newfoundland and Labrador that are actually at it now.
We only have a minute or so to go because we're going to the COVID briefing this afternoon, sorry. But I'll ask you this last question, Joe. You've been at this now for 20 years. What motivates you as a firefighter?
Most people will tell you, and I still got the same feeling, Lynn, after 20 years, you bring new recruits on and you do an interview and that with them, and most of them will tell you they want to help out the community, they want to help out the people that's in the community, and for me, that's still a big part of it.
That sense of service to the community.
Yep, and for some of us older fellas, I guess the next thing for me is ensuring that all the new young men and women that's joined their fire department got the proper training, proper equipment to do the job, and make sure they stay safe and come home at the end of the day.
Joe Power, I really appreciate your time this afternoon, and so happy to hear you're doing well. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Linda.
And we'll be back tomorrow. We'll be talking to the PC opposition about the Green Report and many other things facing Newfoundland and Labrador today. We're off to news, followed by the weekly live COVID briefing, which we'll carry live here on VOCM. Thanks for listening.